From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
Today on the show, we've got wall-to-wall coverage of hot dogs. I'll travel to Chicago to visit Hot Dogs. It's a legendary hot dog and sausage shop that's closing down in October, but not for lack of business. Doug has turned down million-dollar offers to expand. I'll ask him why he's walking away, and we'll discuss the hot dog's proper place in the food canon.
You know, I went to culinary school and people ask, you know, why hot dogs not fine dining? And my response is, what's the difference?
Plus, the time that hot dogs defeated the Nazis. But first, looks like we got a voicemail.
Hi, this is Eliza from Connecticut. Recently, John Hodgman wrote a piece in which he argues that hot dogs are not sandwiches. And I know that you have some strong feelings about sandwiches, and I'd love to get your take on it. Thanks so much, and I love the podcast.
Well, Eliza, that's a great question. And you're right, I have very strong opinions on this issue. Now, when it comes to the definition of a sandwich, I am a strict constructionist, which means I believe we must look to the framer's original intent. We must look to the Earl of Sandwich's original intent. Now, this is why I have been called the Scalia of sandwiches. The Earl of Sandwich wanted to be able to eat his meat on the go because he needed to free up his hands to feed his gambling addiction and or run the Royal Navy, depending on which historian you believe. And I address this issue at length in my forthcoming book, Eat More Better, now available for pre-order, where I lay out a two-part test to define the sandwich. First, you must be able to pick it up and eat it without utensils and without your hands touching the fillings. Second, the fillings must be sandwiched between two separate hand-ready food items. Now, I have a great deal of respect and admiration for John Hodgman. He's a phenomenally talented writer. I love his podcast, Judge John Hodgman. But on this issue, I believe Judge Hodgman is way off base. A hot dog is a sandwich because it passes my two tests. Now, a hot dog is served on a hinged bun, but I believe a hinged bun counts because you could sever the hinge without fundamentally altering the larger structure or the nature of the dish. Same thing with a meatball sub. You're not going to tell me a meatball sub isn't a sandwich, are you? Now, Judge Hodgman dismisses the second part of my test, that the idea that the fillings must be sandwiched. He says of people who would say that, I'm sure you're nice people, but that is tautology. So I looked that word up to remind myself what it means. And it basically is like when you define a word with the word. It's like, how can you, you're not defining it if you're using the word to define the word. That's what he's saying. And to that I say, perhaps it is a tautology, but we would not have the verb to sandwich without the noun sandwich. And we would not have the noun sandwich were it not for the Earl of Sandwich. So these things all come together. You cannot separate one from the other. And I would go even further and say that I think that tautologies get a bad rap. Sometimes I think it is a valid way to define something. And I think, Judge Hodgman, that when you dismiss a tautology simply because it's a tautology, you yourself have committed a tautology. Judge Hodgman also says, sort of in passing, that open-faced sandwiches are sandwiches. Could the Earl of Sandwich have picked up an open-faced sandwich and still gambled and or run the Royal Navy? I think not. An open-faced sandwich is a misnomer. It would more appropriately be called a bread sundae. But let's get right down to the heart of the matter. This is the essence of Judge Hodgman's ruling. He writes, unlike any sandwich, you would never cut and serve a hot dog in halves unless under some weird duress. A half sandwich may be saved or shared, but a hot dog is a unity. Now that's deep, and it is thought-provoking. But still, it doesn't hold water. First of all, it's true that you would rarely cut and serve a hot dog in halves. He says, unless under some weird duress. Well, I have kids. Judge Hodgman has kids. That's duress, but it's not weird duress. It's more like workaday duress. And I cut hot dogs in halves and serve them to my kids. And surely you've been in a backyard barbecue where a big plate of hot dogs gets put in the middle of the table and some people slice a half and take only a half. And what about a cheeseburger? I mean, a cheeseburger is clearly a sandwich. It's a piece of meat between two pieces of bread. Surely the Earl of Sandwich would recognize it as one of his creations. But how often is that ever cut in half? Not often. So that is just not a valid test for a sandwich. A hot dog is a sandwich. Case closed. If you have an issue you'd like me to adjudicate, I hope you'll reach out to me at dan@sporkful.com or 908-9-SPORK-9. Now, on with the show. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you. Because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely. And because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. Great show for you today as we head into 4th of July week and the real kickoff to summer barbecue season in earnest. And that is why today's topic for mastication and rumination is hot dogs and hot dogs. If you spend any time in Chicago, you know they take encased meats pretty seriously. But even there, it's not often that hot dogs are the lead story on the local news.
A neighborhood shocker. A hot dog stand that has become a tourist destination for foodies around the world says it's closing later this year.
Yeah, the owner of Hot Dogs
is famous for inventive sausages and long lines. Even celebrity chef Mario Batali had to wait almost 2 hours for a taste. It's in a sort of no man's land on Chicago's north side, across the street from a power plant. But that hasn't stopped eaters near and far from making the pilgrimage. When owner Doug Sohn announced recently on his website that he's closing up shop in October after 13 years, people flipped out. Here's Doug.
It went up at 8:30. Around 9:15 is when the phone started going.
You're opening that very day at 10:30. Did you see a difference in the line even that within those 2 hours of the announcement?
Oh, we usually don't have that many TV reporters and cameras and TV trucks outside the restaurant and the phone nonstop and cell phone nonstop and texts flying and mayhem. So I'm going to go with yes, there was a noticeable difference.
And you were saying last Friday, this is a couple days after the announcement, so that the restaurant closes at 4, which means you cut off the line at 4.
Correct.
And the line was so long this past Friday that you were still serving until when?
I took the last order at 6:20. So that last hour, hour and a half, you better have known what you wanted because I was running on fumes at that point. But yeah, but so the latest we had ever gone before was a few years earlier, like on a July 4th weekend. I think we had gone to like a few minutes before 6. So it's a new record.
I went to Hot Dogs about a week after that record-setting day to see if the mayhem was starting to die down. So I'm at the corner of Roscoe and California in Chicago. I'm outside Hot Dogs. It's a Saturday morning. It's about 10:20. Hot Dogs opens in 10 minutes. And I would say there are, let's do an actual count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 23, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117. 117 people in line. You, sir, are number 117. Congratulations.
I've lived for this day. My father must be so proud.
What brings you to Hot Dogs on a Saturday morning?
Well, my buddy found out about this some months back, and then all of a sudden they're closing in October, so I'm like, all right, I might as well get down here now, or else it's too late.
So you haven't eaten here before?
No.
But you live in Chicago?
Yes.
Are you guys all here together?
No.
You're just making friends online?
Yeah.
It's that kind of place, though, right?
Yeah. It really is.
You make friends online? You've never been to Hot Dogs. What about you guys?
I've been to Hot Dogs a number of times.
This is my first time. But I'm ready.
You're looking at the menu on your phone. Oh, yeah. What appeals to you today?
We're going to try three between the two of us. We're going to do the lamb. We're going to do the duck and the mushroom one. And then I have to bring my husband home the hot link and another sausage one. And the duck fries. So.
And the duck fries. Got to get them.
Ah, yes. The duck fat fries. One of Doug's specialties. After talking to folks at the end of the line, I skipped back to the beginning to talk to the woman who was first. She has a tattoo of the Hot Dogs logo, which entitles her to eat there for free forever, or at least as long as it's open. Judy, you're first in line. What time did you get here?
I got here at 8:30.
2 hours before opening.
Yes, I did.
Why? Why do you love Hot Dogs?
It's awesome. It's the best place to go.
What's your favorite thing to get here?
The best thing I think I ever had here was the alligator sausage. It's awesome.
When did you get the tattoo?
About a year ago.
So how many free meals would you say you've gotten?
My daughter's gotten a lot more than me. I don't come that often.
She's got the tattoo also?
Yes, she does.
Wow. So I
come about maybe once, maybe sometimes twice a week.
So once or twice a week, let's say that you come maybe 75 times in the past year, 75 free meals. So was it worth it? Was getting the tattoo worth it?
Oh, yeah. It's a remembrance for life. I've got it for life now. So.
So Judy's my hero. I'll post a photo of her and her tattoo on Sporkful.com. And I think you get the point. People love hot dogs. But what exactly makes it special? Well, for one thing, the menu. Doug isn't your run-of-the-mill sausage slinger. Here he is reading some of the sausages on the specials menu the day I visited.
The foie gras and sauterne duck sausage with truffle aioli, foie gras mousse, and fleur de sel has been on our menu for, like 10 years or so. Truffle pork sausage, sauce moutarde, which is fancy for Dijon mustard. I get to charge $9 instead of $8. The most important lesson, by the way, you learn in cooking school. You know, peas, $1. Petit pois à la francaise, $3.75. So goat cheese, truffle balsamic drizzle. We have a smoked crayfish and pork sausage, Cajun shrimp remoulades, and smoked blue cheese. We have a game sausage, a Chardonnay and jalapeno rattlesnake sausage. We're topping with a caramelized onion, whipped mustard, Coco Cardona cheese, duck confit, and black sea salt.
But the more I talked to people in line, the more it became clear that what makes Hot Doug special isn't just the food. It's also Doug. Because he's not just the chef and the owner. He's also the guy who stands at the counter, works the register, and takes every single order. So that means when you go to Hot Doug's, you get to meet Doug. When he goes on vacation, the restaurant just doesn't open. In fact, one reason the line moves so slowly is that Doug takes time to chat with everyone as he takes orders.
So I go out there almost every year, mostly to give him grief for being such a weather wuss now.
Yeah, I survived polar vortex and snow apocalypse, and I'm like, I'm going back where it's 95.
Great. Okay, let me know when that gull falls into the ocean. I'll be waving to you. You'll be boiling.
Coming up, I'll eat at Hot Doug's, and I'll sit down with Doug himself to talk hot dog theory. And as he prepares to close down, I'll ask him the obvious question. Why? Why, Doug? Why? Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Coming up, did you ever hear about the time that hot dogs defeated the Nazis? It's true. Well, they helped. We'll have that story. But first, let's get back to Doug Sohn of Hot Dogs. Now, as we get to him, one thing you need to know, in case you don't already, a Chicago-style hot dog. It's an all-beef hot dog, poppy seed bun, topped with yellow mustard, chopped white onion, neon green sweet pickle relish, sport peppers, tomato slices, a dill pickle spear, and celery salt. Okay, now you're ready. Here's my interview with Doug. We taped it less than 2 weeks after he announced that he's closing in October. Is there any amount of outcry and teeth gnashing and long lines and people handing you huge wads of cash that could convince you to change your mind?
The huge wads of cash is intriguing.
Am I right that you were once offered quite a large sum of money? It was reported in the Trib, seven figures to open a second location.
Correct. To expand from what we were.
So it seems like you've turned down offers to make more money. You're walking away from what is by all accounts a wonderful and successful business. The obvious question, which I know you've already been asked, yes, and will be asked again, yes, is why?
It's just time. And, I did not go into this thinking this is a million-dollar idea. I went into this thinking, I want to open this kind of restaurant. I want to do this. I want to create this, kind of establishment. And I did. And it's been unbelievably great and satisfying, and I'm thrilled, and I've never been happier from a, career standpoint, than doing this. But it's time. I don't want to get to that point where I'm not happy doing this. And so it's just time to go do something else. And as far as like selling it, it's like, it's mine. And, you know, it's a luxury to be able to do what you want professionally. It's a luxury to, you know, not to end it because I can, not because I have to. Having said that, someone writes a check that changes my life so I never have to work again, it's all yours. I don't foresee that happening. And, you know, it's my name, and it might be something I either want to use in the future or not. But that's my choice. And, you know, when people say, well, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, it's like, oh, I've done that before. I'm sure I'll do it again. But I'm genuinely happy about this. And I've done things in the past, in past careers, solely for the money, and I've been miserable. And it's like, I don't know, what else do I want? I've got, you know, I'm going to go back to work because I need to do something. I mean, it's just sort of my nature. But it's not going to be this, and so I get to keep it. If I did, you know, other variations, then it wouldn't be this, and I wouldn't want to be a part of it. And I know that sounds selfish, and I appreciate that, but it's selfish, and, you know, it's mine to do with, and the other options hold no appeal to me.
This must have taken a physical toll, running this place. I mean, tell me about that a little.
Sure, and that's part of it, and that's part of one of the reasons, like, kind of, like, it's time to stop.
May I ask, how old are you now?
I'm 52. And so, wow, which actually, I was in my 30s when I started this. So some of it is like a little bit of a return to, you know, a more quote-unquote normal lifestyle. I don't see myself sitting at a desk 9 to 5 anytime soon. But you know, a little breaks in the action wouldn't be so bad.
So let's talk just a little bit about general hot dog and sausage theory here, if we can.
Okay. I didn't know there was any, but all right.
There is. I think you're being modest, Doug. You clearly are a man of letters. You're a man who gives great thought to words and the names that by which foods are called. You put a lot of thought into the names of the foods in the menu here, which are often changing. I want to talk to you about the Chicago-style hot dog. Now, I love the Chicago-style hot dog, but I would like to raise the question of whether or not it is appropriately named. Now, it seems to me that, okay, there is a hot dog, which is like a type of sausage, essentially. Then there is what I would call the dish that we know as hot dog, which is a hot dog sausage on a bun, really, at its most basic.
Sure,
okay?
Fair enough.
And then you can add all sorts of toppings and trimmings and different kinds of preparations to your hot dog on the bun, right?
Yes.
But a hot dog sausage could also be an ingredient in another food. Some people cut up hot dog and put it into soup, right?
Absolutely.
At what point have you added so many things to the dish we call hot dog that it's no longer a hot dog but a different dish of which hot dog is one ingredient? And is the Chicago-style hot dog across that line?
It has not crossed that line. Some of it's just the physical nature of it. You can only put so many things on it before the bun actually can't hold it. So you are limited by physics.
So is that where you would draw the line? If it can stay on the bun and the dog, then it's still a hot dog.
That's part of it, but also I think you also might get to a point, and I haven't experimented with this enough. So many ingredients, then it's out. It's like any dish. Then it's out of balance. Then it doesn't, work. Then it doesn't taste right. Then you don't get, you know, the great thing about the Chicago-style hot dog is you have these textures and flavors. You have sweet. You have salty. You have crunchy. You have, you know, a little bit softer. You have creamy. You have sharp. You have tanginess. You know, and I think once you start adding too many things, you lose those aspects. We have a lot of people who come in. I get the sense after doing this, 90% of the country likes chili and on their hot dogs, likes chili dogs. So people will get, like, I'll have a Chicago dog, everything on it plus chili. It's like, well, then to me, it's like, well, you're kind of killing it and you're missing the point. So I think, yeah.
Do you say that or do you give it to them?
I try to do it. I was like, really, do you want chili? And they're like, yes. And I used to, you know, people come in here and say, you know, I'll just have a chili dog. And my thinking is, well, you're not going to like it because it's not what you're used to. It's not the chili you're used to. And, you know, I used to smart-ass say, do you go to Rome and have a cheeseburger? And then I realize, probably yes.
the hinged bun on which most hot dogs and sausages are placed. Have you given much thought to the strength of the hinge itself? Because a lot of your dishes have condiments, toppings. It's certainly an issue with a Chicago-style dog where you got that relish and everything. Do you give thought to filling the bun in a way that you can reduce strain on the hinge, which is, as we know, liable to break?
Right, it is liable to break. But it's liable to break, I think, sometimes if they're not good buns, if they're not fresh, if they're not steamed properly, if the dish is done properly, it will hold together and the hinge will, you know, will not break.
Final question, what should I order?
Really? That's a final. I hope that I know that's going to be the final question on October 3rd.
Let me tell you this. I'm gonna get the foie gras, and my friend Kevin Pang of the Chicago Tribune, who know, he told me to get the smoked crayfish, and he said get one more that strikes your fancy. So I got one with some fish. I've got a really intense decadent one. What do you think should complement those two?
I think one of two things. I think if you want, look, I always recommend is like get a Chicago-style hot dog. That's why we started. If you wanted to do something on the specials board that we have today, I am a big fan, again, contrasting. So, you do have this fish. You do have this creamy decadent one. I would go a sort of a sharp, smoky one. The one I'd recommend today is the Portuguese linguiça. It's wonderful smoked sausage, a lot of garlic, a lot of paprika. We top it with some, you know, a saffron sauce with Iberico, just nice, tangy Iberico cheese. You know, when in doubt, I always, my go-to is like a smoked pork.
Well, Doug Sohn, hot dogs, we're sorry to see you go, but thank you for all the years of deliciousness, and can't wait to see what you're going to do next.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, I still had to eat. Fortunately, my friend Sam Grezis was holding a spot in line for me, so I took Doug's recommendations, both of them. I got the linguica and the Chicago-style hot dog to go with the smoked crayfish and the duck sausage with foie gras mousse on top, and the duck fat fries. It was all extraordinary. But the duck sausage with the foie gras, I mean, that was just on another level. Here I am taking my first bite of it. The fat, the decadence of it, is just like, I can't tell if it feels like a goose made entirely of goose fat is like punching me in the face or hugging me. It was bliss. I was stuffed. So I got up and walked out the door with a bag of leftovers in my hand. And guess who I saw waiting in line outside? All right, I am outside again. I have finished my feast. It's just after 12 o'clock. And I just couldn't help but notice that my friends who were at the back of the line, number 117. So when I talked to you guys, you were at the end of the line. It was 10:28. It's now 12:06. And you're still like 20 people. You're not even inside the establishment yet.
It's okay.
Why don't we talk about what I just ate?
I wanted to know what was it. What was in the brown paper bag you had?
Do you want some?
What here. Do you have in there?
Here. I'm opening it up. Here, I'm going to share with you guys.
Oh,
these are my leftovers. Here, hold my recorder. You hold this. All right.
Oh, what did you have? Was it good?
There's duck fat fries in there.
I got duck fat fries. Oh, here, this is crawfish and pork sausage. Have some. Take a bite.
No, that's
come on, here. You can eat the other end. Eat the other end. The linguiça.
Oh, we were going to get that one.
All right, here.
Yeah. Changed our mind.
Let me try.
Yeah, we're getting that way.
Oh, man. Oh, that's really good. That's got paprika. That's a lot of
paprika.
I'm
going to have to.
I'm sorry. Oh.
People are just grabbing and ripping apart my leftover sausage, but that's okay. This is the kind of love and bonding that Hot Dogs inspires.
I'm getting grease on your recorder here.
That's okay. My whole recorder is covered in grease. This is all I do is carry a recorder around and eat.
You can lick it later, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There it goes.
It was worth the 2-hour wait just to get a bite of your hot dog. Except I need a beer now.
Recently, we marked the 75th anniversary of the Hot Dog Summit. So gather around, kids. Grandpa's going to tell you a story. Nowadays, the idea of the U.S. joining forces with the British to fight the Nazis in World War II, well, seems obvious. But back then, it wasn't so cut and dry. Fact is, there was a lot of anti-British sentiment in the U.S. There were a lot of European immigrants here who still chafed at British imperialism. There was a lot of economic competition between us. There was a sense that Brits just thought they were better than us. And there was still that whole Revolutionary War thing, remember? It was a little awkward. No sitting British monarch had ever set foot on U.S. soil. Well, 75 years ago, FDR decided to change that. He invited King George for a visit.
By the time we get to 1939, it's quite clear that the world is under severe threat, most particularly from the rise of Adolf Hitler and Nazism in Germany.
This is David Wallner, senior fellow and resident historian at the Roosevelt Institute.
There's an understanding that the first line of defense in the Atlantic is Great Britain. There's a growing sense that we need each other.
So FDR wants to get the American people to warm up to the Brits. Enter hot dogs. He decides to throw a good old-fashioned American backyard barbecue and get the king and queen to eat hot dogs. That way FDR can show the American people that, hey, the king and queen, they're just like us.
What he really wanted the American people to see was what he called the essential democracy of the royal family.
So let's get to the hot dogs. So the king and queen are served hot dogs on silver platters. What do we know about the hot dogs themselves? Do we know how they were cooked? Or am I correct in assuming they were like a combination of beef and pork with a natural casing? Is there anything in the record about the hot dogs themselves?
Well, I understand that they were Swift, but I could be wrong.
Swift, like the brand, or that they came quickly?
No, the brand.
That was a brand. Okay, gotcha.
And I understand also that they were, just standard run-of-the-mill American hot dogs, and that they were cooked over a barbecue at the picnic.
Okay, do we know if they were served with ketchup, mustard? I mean, I assume there was no sauerkraut as the Nazis were storming through Europe.
I think they were very traditional in that sense. No, there was no major accoutrement here. There was just ketchup, mustard, et cetera.
Okay. Now, I looked at the official menu for the picnic at Hyde Park, and it lists hot dogs. And then next to hot dogs, in parentheses, it says, if weather permits. And it only says that next to hot dogs, not next to Virginia ham or cranberry jelly or anything else.
That's right, because the hot dogs were prepared right there at the picnic. I mean, they were barbecued outdoors.
But, like, after all of FDR's stage management, there was so much riding. I mean, the future of Europe was riding on these hot dogs. He was just going to cancel that if it rained? He couldn't just boil them inside?
They were fairly certain of the weather. You know, they were pretty confident. But, you know, you're going to barbecue hot dogs, you got to do it outdoors.
Okay. I thought maybe they had some sort of bygone notion of hot dog weather or something.
I don't think so. But
okay. So the king and queen get their hot dogs. They're reluctant to pick up the food with their hands. They're not sure if they're supposed to use a knife and fork. They don't want to insult FDR and the American people, but they also don't want to look like fools for the British press. What do they do? How do the king and queen eat their hot dogs, and how do they react to the hot dogs?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's why the king sort of asked Roosevelt, how do you eat one? How does one eat one, you know? And Roosevelt, of course, laughed and said, you simply pick it up and shove it in your mouth. And FDR went ahead and did that. And inspired by FDR's example, yes, the king and queen picked up their hot dogs and ate them in the traditional fashion. There was no knife and fork. They used their hands, and everyone had a great time.
To the point that the headline in the New York Times the next day was, King tries hot dog and asks for more. with the subheadline, and he drinks beer with them.
yeah. And that was the whole point of the visit. Yeah, we talk about ping pong diplomacy during the Nixon era with China, and this was hot dog diplomacy.
And 3 months after the picnic, England declared war on Germany. So am I correct that were it not for hot dogs, we'd all be speaking German right now?
Well, I don't think that we can make quite that analogy, but I do think it is important. And what I would say about that is that over the last decade or so, increasingly, historians have been dating the sort of initiation of the special relationship between Britain and America to the royal visit of June of 1939 and to the events like the hot dog picnic.
All right. Well, David Wallner, senior fellow and resident historian at the Roosevelt Institute, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Before we wrap things up, folks, I want to let you know that there are a whole bunch of visual components to this week's audio podcast. We have a slideshow of all the ridiculous sausages that I saw and ate at Hot Doug's, plus pictures of Doug and the place and Judy and her tattoo, all that at sporkful.com. Plus, big exciting news. Season 2 of my cooking channel web series, You're Eating It Wrong, is live. And first week out of the gate, what do you think we're covering? Hot dogs. So there's a web video, covers a lot of crucial hot dog theory, especially some kind of bizarre but oddly practical tips for dealing with bad buns, and also condiment management, condiment regulation, crucial issues addressed in this video. So watch that one and all of the You're Eating It Wrong videos at sporkful.com. Please do remember to subscribe to The Sporkful in iTunes if you don't already. Just go to iTunes, search for Sporkful. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Kristen Meinzer. Special thanks to Chris Bannon. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Happy 4th of July. Enjoy those hot dogs. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.